Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Transfiguration of the Lord is one of those biblical accounts that falls within a category I call extraordinary. The events described are not a fable or a legend. They really took place. And unlike the types of things that the Lord did during his ministry, healing and things of that nature, which obviously demonstrated his love, grace, mercy, and compassion upon the creation, his creation, those are the types of things that he also allowed some of his apostles to do. But no one had ever before or since been transfigured. And no one has because they were not divine like the Lord. When the Lord Jesus took three of his disciples from the dark valleys of this sin-filled world, he led them to a mountain, permitting them to witness his transfiguration. They saw the true brilliance of the Son of God manifested in a miraculous way. This miracle clearly demonstrated Jesus' divinity. Not only was he fully human, he was fully God. So there's no question that it was good that they were there to view the special revelation of God, to be his witnesses. And likewise, today, this very day of the week, on Sunday, as on every Sunday, we as his blood-bought redeemed children confess, celebrate, and acknowledge God's good work among us. Like the first day of creation by the Father, the eighth day resurrection of the Son, and the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was bestowed with abundance. We have been gathered by the Lord to a special place called Trinity Lutheran Church, to this holy place that has been set apart and consecrated to be a gracious and holy meeting place of the communion of saints, gathered among holy things and in the real presence of the holy triune God to receive true peace with the Almighty through Jesus Christ. Thus we are able to say along with St. Peter, "'Tis good, Lord, to be here." I know I've asked this question before, but when was the last time you thought about Sunday in that way? This is one of the great dangers that faces Christendom, to think that what takes place here is nothing extraordinary, is something that is just ordinary, a gathering of people who come of their own volition, who come for various different reasons. For some, it's because they come as a means of being able to gather with friends. Maybe viewing their time in this place is not a whole lot different than gatherings that may take place during the week. But what the Word of God tells us, what the Word of God teaches us, is what happens here in this holy place is the divine comes to be with his people. I readily admit the challenge is we don't see the extraordinary. We don't see the brilliance of the Lord as he comes to us. We might not even feel his presence. It just seems so ordinary or common, that which takes place each Sunday. But through faith in Christ, he enables us to believe that what really does happen is we are drawn into his presence by his Spirit, and he condescends to be with his people to serve them. That he is really and truly here, just as he was with his disciples on that holy mountain. We too behold his glory, but not in the same way that they were permitted to behold it. Now, when did this journey to this particular Mount of Transfiguration occur? It took place 6 days after Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I can only imagine that journeying with Jesus for 3 years had its ups and downs for the disciples. They would have been eyewitnesses to the periodic haranguing that Jesus received from various people. Likewise, they would have witnessed his mercy and his compassion and love as he healed many with afflictions. They would have seen those who sought to taunt and trap Jesus, those who persecuted him and fomented hatred toward him. And they would have also observed that in spite of all the anger, hatred, and resentment, God always, always preserved his remnant. He always gathered a few souls here and there, rich or poor, slave or free, from various nations. He gathered them to hear the word incarnate taught and by his Spirit to bring some from the darkness into his marvelous light to believe. But this day, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a mountain where they were permitted to witness a tremendous revelation of Jesus the Christ. It's no wonder that Peter was moved to say, "'Tis good, Lord, to be here. Our Lord Jesus, the Son of God from eternity, and the Son of Man born of Mary, was transfigured, manifesting the glory that was His from all eternity." These three disciples were permitted a glimpse of His glory, while they were still in this fallen world. This also was something that happened in our Old Testament lesson in Exodus, when the Lord indeed had Moses and the elders, even, able to be in the presence of the Lord and not be destroyed. These three disciples would be his witnesses. In the midst of all this fallenness, Peter, James, and John truly had what can only be described as a mountaintop experience, which was all well and good for them. But what about others? What about you and me? Fellow Redeemed, please picture this sacred space situated on a mountain peak. The Lord has drawn you here, just as He drew Peter, James, and John. This sanctuary and this nave have been consecrated by the Word of God and for the proclamation of the Word. It has been set aside as a place where God gathers His people to hear Him speak of hope, despite all the darkness that surrounds them. It is where you enter into the presence of the living Lord. To mark that special aspect of our gathering, the Lord has us begin in the name of the Triune God, in the name of He who has come into our lives through baptism, and who has graciously promised to reveal Himself whenever His people gather in His name. When you sing your amen to the invocation at the beginning of the service, you are in essence saying, "'Tis good, Lord, to be here." The Lord then has you confess a bit of painful truth, that you are unworthy to come into His presence, to come into the presence of a holy, perfect, righteous, sin-hating God, confessing that you are poor, miserable sinners and undeserving of His grace and mercy. And having thus declared such truth, He would have you realize that on your own you stand outside the Holy of Holies and should in essence say, along with the faithful centurion, only say the word and my sick servant will be healed. And the Savior, the incarnate Son of God, because of His life, death, and resurrection, announces and bestows God's gracious forgiveness for Christ's sake. And how does He do that? Through the absolution, humbly proclaimed by His called under-shepherd, a servant of Christ and steward of the mystery of God. It is then that you and I are prepared, having been made worthy and invited to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. This is why we can join St. Peter and say, "'Tis good, Lord, to be here." Joining our voices and singing the Gloria and the threefold petition of mercy, singing glory to God in the highest, and then praying the collect of the day, and then have God speak His word to those He has gathered. One of the reasons our lectionary, the readings that are assigned for each Sunday, includes an Old Testament reading is so that we hear what God spoke by Moses and the prophets. We too witness, if you will, Moses and Elijah on the mount, but we do so through that Old Testament lesson. Now, initially, the Lord instructed His apostles to not tell anyone the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Following the resurrection, the apostles are let loose, if you will. They are instructed to now openly proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, crucified to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who is risen from the dead. And like those apostles, we too share God's word to those the Lord surrounds us with each day. And following Jesus' ascension, God bless you. The Lord inspired His apostles to correct errors that had crept into the church and were leading people from His truth. So the early church instructed the succeeding generations to include the reading of the apostolic lessons as epistles, that they would be read each Sunday in addition to the Old Testament lesson, so that the Lord may continually teach, encourage, and rebuke and keep His church from error. This is how the Lord continues to speak to His people. Each Lord's Day, we are enabled to confess, "Lord, it is well. We are here." Back to our text. While Peter was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed the mount, and a voice from the cloud declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." Now, as things play out in that text, you would think that it would be good news to hear such proclamation. You would think that hearing the voice of God the Father testify that Jesus is the Son of God would be a good thing. So why did Peter and the other apostles react the way that they did? Why did they fall on their faces? Why were they afraid? Well, it kind of goes back to what I said just a few minutes ago. They're afraid because they've realized that they're in the very presence of the Almighty God and Creator of the universe. They realize that God Himself was in their midst, and in a flash, if you will, their sinfulness stood before them. Peter and his companions are self-conscious of their true condition before God. The law of God produces fear, and apart from Christ, there is only a stern God whose truth is neither malleable nor breakable. That's the realization that they're brought to as they hear God's voice speaking from the cloud, which then concludes with God's command to listen to Him, to His Son. Now we do likewise as we rise at the reading of the Holy Gospel. We stand to listen to the Savior and to hear Him who came from heaven above to suffer and die in our place. And as we listen to the incarnate Word, we too ought to be filled with awe and wonder. Now in one of the church's liturgies, the one that we will use next Sunday, following the reading of the Gospel lesson, we then confess what the Word has taught us. We confess the Christian faith, confessing what the church believes, teaches, and confesses in the creeds of Christendom. On Sundays, we typically use the Nicene Creed. We confess what is our life, hope, peace, and comfort in the Lord Christ. This, especially in our day and age, is vitally important. And we should also remember that we have promised to suffer all things, even death, rather than fall away from this one true faith. So the Lord calls faithful under-shepherds to continue teaching that which He has given His church to preserve her. To afflict the comfortable, that is, the impenitent, by declaring that the wages of sin is death, but also comforting the afflicted, the penitent, by sharing the truth, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That, fellow redeemed, I pray, is what you hear Sunday after Sunday. If God's law is not shared, then how shall God's people be frightened of God's wrath against sin? And if His gospel is not shared to comfort and quiet your soul because of God's love for the world, then how will people have the peace that transcends all understanding? Faithfulness, steadfastness and vigilance is what is called for in these latter days as we hear the Lord declare, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." And while on that holy mountain, enveloped in the cloud after the glory departed, Jesus came and touched them, much like he would touch them following his resurrection. "Rise and have no fear." Following the resurrection, the terminology was a bit different, but the principle was the same. Peace. "My peace I give to you. Have no fear." And as you kneel before this holy altar, the Lord, having given you his very body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine, hear him say to you, "Rise and have no fear. Depart in peace." And then add your amen as you confess, "It is good to be here." And given such truth, who wouldn't want to be here every Sunday? To hear the Lord speak to them by his word and to serve them by his sacrament. Peter, James, and John were permitted to witness the transfiguration of Jesus, to witness what indeed happens to us each Sunday. To be in the presence of the divine. The Lord had them up on that mountain, just as he has us on this mount, to prepare us. To prepare us for what lays or lies ahead, because they and we likewise are to be his witnesses. For them it was to be witness to what took place in the Garden of Gethsemane, then all the way to his ascension, where he promised them, "Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age." But we too are prepared to go into this dark and dying world so that we can, having witnessed, share with others, to testify, to confess to the truth, to point people to Christ. And as we share his word, his Spirit goes with that word. Remember what he promised to Isaiah in the 55th chapter. It's one of the readings that the church has preserved for Holy Saturday during the Easter Vigil. It speaks of the word going with purpose. "Just as the rain and the snow fall down from heaven, accomplish the purpose of indeed watering the earth," God's word goes out from him through us, and it does not return to him void, but does accomplish the purpose for which he sends it. And as we go out, we remember the words that he spoke at his ascension. "Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age." So as we gossip the good news of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, we gossip it knowing that he is with us, that he has not abandoned us, that he is still here in reality, not just spirit. So when we gather together in the name of the Lord who comes to us by word and sacrament, we need to remember that he is really and truly here to forgive our sins, to strengthen the gift of faith that he has given us as we await his second advent. And as we conclude our time in his presence, he blesses us with his benediction. And we depart from this mount, not yet to the eternal glory, but rather back to the common and ordinary stations and vocations in life that God has given us. Whether that be mother, father, son, daughter, student, or worker, directed by the Lord to work, to do that which he has given us to do and support. And as we do so, we must remember that he is with us no matter what the situation, no matter where we might find ourselves, and no matter where we are. We do walk through valleys of the shadow of death, and we are always surrounded by the devil who is lurking nearby to accuse, to attempt to snatch us away from Christ and his word of truth. There will be troubles. There will be disappointments and challenges that we face. So we desperately need to frequently visit this mountain where the Lord has gathered us today in his name. And then having been strengthened, we may indeed sing together, "'Tis good, Lord, to be here. Yet we may not remain, but since thou bidst us leave the mount, come with us to the plain. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.